And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The Bible tells us that things will grow worse and worse in the last days. The Apostle Paul said things would grow worse and worse with men deceiving and being deceived. You know, I've always thought it was so amazing to me that the biggest deceivers have themselves been deceived. You would think they're just con men out to fool and trick people into giving their money, or maybe their very soul. But I find these men sometimes believe in what they're doing. These men and women are deceived. They're totally enslaved. Because, dear friends, whatever you believe indicates who you are. You know, there's a lot of old sayings. I remember somebody told me years ago, you are what you eat. Well, I suppose that's true. And there's a lot of people that are just big. Well, I don't know, because they're just, I don't think their mind is necessarily big, but they're just big. And then a lot of people are thin. Well, I'm not so sure that's true, but there is some truth to that. But certainly what you believe is what you are. I'm sure I can sit down with anybody and chat with them about 15 or 20 minutes about their beliefs. And when they walk out of my office, I can write probably pages and pages on what they believe. I can get it from just sitting with them 10 or 15 minutes. What you are is what you believe. Well, that's why I'm so worried for America and really for you and I. You know, the Bible tells us to stand and be very sure of our standing and don't deceive ourselves lest we fall. Well, today I'm going to be talking about the great fall of whom? People who call themselves Christians. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a program entitled Judgment Begins in the House of the Lord. I've always wondered about that verse in the Bible. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. You know, God is a very merciful Lord, and he sometimes just watches. Oh, you think he doesn't even see you. You think, I can do whatever I want to. He's not paying any attention. But he is. Oh, he's watching. He's watching us. And then suddenly, it comes fast. It comes hard. We get paid. Famous old sermon from Pastor Lee from down in Mississippi said, payday doesn't always come on Saturday. I think it was the name of the sermon. Payday doesn't always come on Saturday. May come on Monday or Thursday. You know, I have a new book out. And I want to use this hour to tell you about this book and give you some of the examples in it, because I think a lot of you are going to be shocked when you read this book. You're going to say, wow. Now, those of you who get my periodic audio tapes or CDs or listen to the radio regularly may know that I do periodically have a volume of pastors and churches gone wild, where you and I chat about churches that are just pastors, evangelists, and so forth, that are just downright crazy. They're just wild. They're berserk. And, you know, I haven't done one of those volumes in a little while because I mean, you know, so many people send me things of what's going on in their towns or their villages, their cities, their communities. And then I read so much myself, and I started collecting these things years ago. And pretty soon I had boxes and boxes. And then I realized something. This is widespread. This is universal. In fact, I believe when I tell you the title of today's message, you'll think maybe I've gone wild. But here's the question I have for you. Is America's Christian establishment, the whole world's really Christian establishment, gone to hell in a handbasket? Is it already gone? Can we save it? Is there any shred, any smidgen we can save? Well, I've done my best, I suppose. I founded Bible Home Church some years ago, and we have that on the air. I hope you'll listen in. I hope you do. It's only a 30-minute program, but it gives you a little bit of God's Word. I encourage you to go out and learn, discover more for yourself. I use the word discover rather than learn because discovering, you know, it means an adventure. Where you learn, you just sort of sit back. But when you discover, you get an adventure. And I think you do discover with Bible Home Church. Now, every time I open the Bible, I expect to have an adventure. Now, if you don't read the Bible in that sense that I'm going to discover something fantastic. This is an adventure. This is what they call an odyssey. I'm going to learn things and that I just never thought of before. I always get that. I'll read a verse for the 10th time, maybe the 20th, and suddenly something different in it pops out. I never noticed that one word. That changes so much. That adds to. Wow, am I really on a discovery tour now? That's what the Bible does for me. I'm constantly going on a discovery tour. Well, when you read my new book, I encourage you to get this book. Now, please understand something. I don't receive any royalties from my books. Every cent goes back into the ministry. But the more books that are sold, well, that means the more we can keep our ministry going. We're alive, folks. We're not dying off. We're alive. We're moving. We're on an adventure tour here at Power of Prophecy. If you studied at all, if you just look at our website or our newspaper comes out every month, you'll see we don't just have the same old stuff. I mean, it's adventurous. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. This book is too. But here's the thing. These are incredible events occurring in churches and by pastors and evangelists around the United States and the world right now. And they're in your hometown. Don't tell me they're not, because I might just get in my car and fly over to your town or your city and go to the churches myself. And I bet I can find about 50 instances of them. I remember I visited a Baptist church up in North Austin here. Church old, had about 1,000 members. Nice church. Baptist church. Pastor was really he was preaching from the Bible. Sounded good. He invited me to go out to eat with him after the service. And he and I, his wife and I and my wife, and we had a real good time. But then he said to me, you write mostly books about the New Age movement. He said, but once you've written one book, it's sort of boring, isn't it? I mean, that's about all you'd want to know about the New Age movement. I mean, we don't have anything like that in our church. I said, really? No. He said, we're just a typical, Bible church. Nothing going on strange in our church. I said, really? I said, well, I've gone to your church about 3 times now, and let me tell you some of the things that are going on in your church. He said, okay. I said, now, brother so-and-so, he works for a Freemason. Oh, what's wrong with that? Well, he found a lot of literature in the Freemason's library at his house while he was working on his house doing carpentry work. And he began to read it and discover how wonderful it was. It told about a new god named Atum Re and about the god of prosperity and about how you can appeal to this god of prosperity, how you can set up the altar with black candles and meditate and chant, and this god of prosperity will come to you, this Egyptian god, and give you what you want. Well, his face dropped. He was just amazed. He said, brother, so-and-so, is that so? I said, yes, it is. His wife told me. His wife was complaining because it seemed that what this gentleman really wants is to have sex with his stepdaughter. And that's what he was appealing to the god of prosperity for. Well, he was shocked. I said, but that's not all. I was looking over one of your Sunday school books, and they were asking, they were talking about the Holy Spirit in there. And the text read, if you were walking in the woods and you suddenly came upon a rattlesnake right in front of you, that's the exciting feeling you get when you receive the Holy Spirit. I said, is that true? He said, well, no, that's not true at all. I mean, surprised by a poisonous snake, the same as the Holy Spirit. I said, that's what your Sunday school book says for adults. And I gave him a couple more instances. You know, and I learned these things just visiting the church. Well, he was absolutely amazed. Of course, he couldn't believe it, but that was what was going on in his church. And by the way, he also prayed and asked that the Shekinah glory come over everyone. I said, what is the Shekinah glory? He says, well, it's the Holy Spirit. Where did you learn that at? Well, I don't know. Baptists always talk about the Shekinah glory. Do you know what that is? That's the great goddess. Well, I said, that's from Judaism. It's about the great goddess in the Kabbalah. You see, this pastor knew nothing of what was going on in his church. Right under his nose. My friends, God is going to clean this house up. He's going to clean every house of evil up. That's a den of thieves there. They're robbing God. They're wasting their time going there. And these things will spread in one church. And then you try to talk to them about these things, and they think you're crazy. You're the one that's going wild. How can you preach such a thing? You know, I had some friends over some years ago, wonderful wife and husband. They were in about 35 years of age. Now, honestly, I don't try to push my religion on everybody. I don't talk about Jesus and God all the time and the Bible and all that. You may be surprised that I don't, but I don't. I can talk about all kinds of things. I can talk about military policy overseas. I can talk about the president. I can talk about, you know, what I can talk about, I suppose, as the old saying goes, about the price of tea in China, the economy, anything. And they had their two kids with them, 12 or 13 years of age. They were sitting in our front room there, and we were all chatting, and kids were talking to each other. And then one of the kids was telling the other one that they were, you know, well, you're just prejudiced. And the other one said, no, I'm not. I just don't like gays. And the other kid said, well, there's nothing wrong with them. And the first kid said, yeah, there is. Well, then, you know, while I was talking with the husband and wife, the young kid that had been told that he was prejudiced, he says to me, Mr. Morris, is there anything wrong with being gay? Now, folks, the Bible says for you to have an answer. I had an answer. And it was very simple. I said, well, in the Old Testament, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed two cities. He rained fire and brimstone down on them, and it was mainly because they had got so depraved that so many of them had turned gay and were homosexual. I said, now that's in the Bible, so that's what God says. Then the wife looked at me, and she was shocked. She was absolutely out of her mind. She said, that's in the Bible? I said, yes. She was serious. She's really serious. Can you show me that in the Bible? Well, we were talking about, we were just having a social gathering. Wasn't anything about the Bible? Or I said, well, if you want me to. She said, I'd appreciate that. She turned to her husband. She said, have you heard anything about this? And he looked sort of, you know, like he was almost embarrassed. He said, well, yeah, that's in the Bible. Now, this precious lady was going to a Bible church. It's one of, you know, John MacArthur, the pastor, John MacArthur. It was a church that he founded in California and had about, oh, probably 1,500 members. Big Bible church. She was a very faithful member there. They had all joined that church, and she was going. She even taught Sunday school sometime, and, you know, and, oh, she was just a really nice Christian lady. And I showed it to her in the Bible. I said, here it is, you know. She read all about it, Sodom and Gomorrah, the story of Lot. And she was amazed. She said, has that always been in the Bible? I said, well, yes, it has. I said, it's not new. And she said, I can't believe that God would do that. I said, you can't? No. She said, and gays are so wonderful. She said, I love the Rosie O'Donnell show on TV. I just love Rosie. I said, well, I don't, what can I tell you? She said, I'm going to have to think about that. And I wanted to say, why think? Why? God, God puts it in your heart if you're a Christian. Now, you know, this is an amazing thing. Think about that. She's about 35 years of age. She'd gone to church all her life. She's going to a Bible church. I mean, most Americans know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Even the ones that don't go to church can tell you about Sodom and Gomorrah. But she couldn't. Was she just an idiot? No, 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 no. She's an average person. Very, very, you know, nice lady. Very conversant with the things of the world. Her kids had never heard this either. They'd never heard it either. They were like shocked. Now, I suppose probably they all went home and maybe the wife told the husband, I don't want to go back over there again. I don't want our teenagers to hear about that. I don't want them to know what God did to those gays at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's so brutal, so cruel. I just don't want them to hear about that. Yeah, but she'd keep on watching Rosie O'Donnell, wouldn't she? Now, this is the thing I want to tell you about, friends. If you know even a smidgen of what God says in His Word, you're going to be an outcast. And goodness, it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to bring it up to someone. Now, I very pleasantly did so. I was asked. What was I supposed to say? I don't know of anything in the Bible about that. I don't know, you know, what, should I have lied? No. You've got to answer those questions. You've got to do so in a kind spirit. Very nicely done. But they'll probably think you're a raving maniac anyway. Now, when we were young, when I was a young man, everybody knew Sodom and Gomorrah, it seemed like. Everybody knew. And, of course, here in Texas, as in most states, it was against the law to even commit a homosexual act. But things have changed. Now, when you get pastors and churches going wild, and you see that right on the front cover, Texmore says, America's Christian establishment has gone berserk, it'll probably surprise you. But because in this book, you're going to read case after case. I mean, here, I'll just turn to page one. I'll just open up the book, turn to page 170, and there's a beautiful color picture of George Washington, our first president. There he is. They have a big ceremony. It says, George Washington, this is the caption on the picture, George Washington presided at the laying of the cornerstone at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. He wore all his Masonic regalia. Oh, and there he is with his all-seeing eye, and there's the symbol of Freemasonry. And they had a cornerstone laying ceremony. Then over on the right side here, page 171, is George Washington's tomb where they lay his body. Well, wait. Is this George Washington's tomb, or is this the Queen's house in Egypt? The ancient queen, the ancient goddess of the serpent. Could this be the Pharaoh's wife? Could it be? Well, that's what he was laid in. To enter his tomb, you can visit, by the way, if you go to Mount Vernon. You have to walk right past two Egyptian obelisks, one on each side. What's that all about? Well, you'll read about it in this book. And by the way, I mentioned the fact that many Christian books have been written about what a wonderful Christian George Washington is and all, et cetera, et cetera. And, well, this is true. Did you know that the founding fathers, right before they had their Boston Tea Party, they met at the Green Dragon Inn? Got that name? The Green Dragon Inn? That's where they plotted out their little party, dressed up like Indians and so forth. They were all Freemasons. Now, what would the Masons have to do with the founding of America? Well, that's what you're going to find out in this book. But listen, I want you to learn about this book. For example, I talk about Billy Graham on page 167. Seems that Billy Graham went on the Larry King show. He was asked what he thought about the Jews. Well, Billy Graham said, I've got many friends in Judaism. And every day, Billy Graham said, I contact by phone my spiritual counselor, who is Rabbi Tannenbaum of New York City. Every day I contact him by phone, and he gives me a spiritual or inspirational word for that day. Now, you know, folks, I've been blind. I don't even know who my spiritual counselor is, except God. But I don't mind going to another Christian man or woman for advice. But I don't know why I would go to a rabbi. I don't have any rabbis I contact. If I did, they'd probably, you know, start screaming and hollering and everything else. But certainly the rabbi would not have any spiritual advice for me. He is not a Christian. He believes that Jesus Well, you know what he thinks about Jesus. It's all in his Talmud. It's horrible. But the rabbi doesn't believe in Christianity at all. And he is not a Christian, therefore he is a natural born person. Only Christians can be born again in spirit and in truth. And so the rabbi, like every other person on earth, like I was before I was born again, like you were before you knew Jesus, you were just a natural born person. A natural born person. And the Bible says the natural born person does not know the things of God. Wow. Friends, I've known drunks that came to know Jesus and they put away their alcohol immediately. They knew it was wrong and they never drank again. I've known masons that renounced the lodge immediately after becoming a Christian. I've known doctors who were abortionists who had said, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. They suddenly said, this is terrible. I'll never do an abortion again. Once they knew Jesus, because Jesus comes to live in your heart and you will never be the same person. You will be a new creature. Oh, you might look the same on the outside, but that's going to be gone. I don't know how long it's going to last. How old are you? 50? What might last 20, 30 years? Then it's going to go back to dust. That's what the Bible says. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. You're going to go back to nothing. Except you will live on. Your spirit will live on. Your soul will live. And if you're with Jesus Christ, it'll be in heaven. If not, you'll be in hell. That's the way it is. Well, now, Tex, that's pretty brutal. Well, it's not, because you've got an opportunity if you believe, if you have faith. I don't wake up scared every day. I wake up glorious every day. I wake up, look in the mirror and say, boy, what a bright day this is. What am I going to do for Jesus today? What is Jesus going to give me to do today? I love that. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. He orders my steps. There's nothing that's going to be surprising to God today. It may surprise me. I may get a letter today from someone that says, I just came to know Jesus through your ministry. That's great. I didn't know about it, but Jesus did. That's wonderful. You're going to have a great life, my friend. I knew a man who said, I didn't know anything about the Jews, and then I read your books and everything, and now I'm a changed person, and now my church teaches a totally different thing, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? What did Jesus tell you to do? he knew what he had to do. He had to tell the truth. It's simple. And if you do that, well, then you're happy. I've told you many times that I used to complain a lot. Now you may say, oh, Tex, you didn't complain. Yes, I did. Oh, I've repented for that now. I don't complain anymore. Whatever happens to me, I'm happy. Now, I said to God, why did you call me for this ministry? It's so hard. Oh, it's so hard. And now everybody's coming down on me and they're hard on me. And, you know, some want to destroy me and some are saying I'm a bigot. And others are saying you're just a fundamentalist crazy. And they're saying all kind of things about me. And my life is just being so difficult. And, oh, why didn't you choose somebody for this ministry and that was rich and had connections? I don't know anybody. I don't have any denomination, any church to really help me get ahead. And I'm just out there in the big old bad world. And I just complained. You know, God, he was very generous with me. He was very generous with me. He allowed me space to complain. Oh, but when he finally said what he did, I straightened up fast. I was always in complaining. Oh, I was at home and I was just sitting there and I was just thinking about how terrible I had it. And you know, when I was an Air Force officer, everybody looked up to me. And of course, everybody, you know, that I outranked, they, you know, did what I told them to do. And it was very nice. And you know, I was very respected. And now, boy, this is hard. This Christian ministry thing. And God said to me, suddenly he spoke to me. He is one of the few times he's ever spoken to me, literally in my life. He said, I knew you would do it. That's why I called you. He didn't say anything else. That was it. I knew you would do it. Now, he didn't call me because I was smart. Probably called me because I didn't have the brains. I don't know. Remember, because I was so good looking. My wife tells me I'm good looking. I believe her. But, you know, not a lot of people say that, but my wife does. I think my mother said I was good looking one time, too. But that's, you know, that's about it. Nobody ever said you're super smart and all that. But God just said, I knew you would do it. That's why he called me. And you know what? I suddenly felt greatly satisfied. So that's it. You knew I would do it. Now, that may seem like a strange thing to you, friends. I mean, but there, what that told me was there's probably millions of people out there more qualified than me, better than me, more connected than me. They have more money than me. They can go out and spend millions on ads and do all kinds of great things that I can't do. But you know what? God has given me everything I need. You're listening to this radio program, aren't you, friends? That's because, well, I hope you like me. I hope you like what I'm saying. If not, well, God will give me somebody else, but I hope it's you. I want it to be you. You see, this really pleased me. It satisfied me. He knew my heart. And you know, that's why sinners aren't going to go to heaven. You know, Billy Graham recently said, and you read it in this book here, there'll be many people in heaven that didn't know Jesus, never even heard of him. They're going to heaven too. Really? You're wrong, Billy Graham. You're wrong. Well, let's talk about some more of these things. This is an amazing book. I don't know if a book's ever been written like this. Here's about a Houston pastor. Name is Ed Young. He was pastor, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. And you know, they had a big meeting, a big interfaith meeting, and they had Muslim imams and Jewish rabbis and Christian clergy from all denominations, and he was asked to speak at it because he was head of the Southern Baptist Convention in a big old church there. I mean, I drive by it every day. It's just huge. It looks like a Walmart store or something. And he told them something. He quoted to them. He said, we need change in America. And then he quoted the Hindu rabbi, excuse me, the Hindu guru, Mahatma Gandhi. He said, Gandhi said, you are the change you are seeking. And you know, the editor of Christianity Today said, this is wonderful. A new attitude is taking over Christianity. This is wonderful, he said, that a Southern Baptist pastor, the head of the convention, quotes Mahatma Gandhi to rabbis and Muslim imams and all that. You know, friends, I've just told you about change that occurs in the hearts of Christians when you know Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That one verse is a whole sermon. Why didn't he quote Jesus? I'll bet you they really thought this man is very educated. Why? He quoted Gandhi. The change you seek is, you know, in yourself. Is it really, friends? Let me tell you something, friends. If you're a natural born person, you don't have anything but disease and corruption and evil within you. But if you know Jesus, you're a new person. That's all been cleaned out. You're looking ahead with boldness and with a bright attitude. Why didn't Pastor Young tell him about Jesus? What an opportunity. I guess that's why they don't invite Tex Mars to those big old interfaith meetings. They know what I would say. I'd have to tell you. I mean, I could tell you about the places I've been thrown out of. I've been thrown out of places because of what I said. All I did was tell them about Jesus and they threw me out. I guess Pastor Young didn't want that to happen to him. Well, there are cases like that. Many, many cases in my new book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Get a copy. I'm Tex Mars. Hey, stay with us. We got a lot more when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. I'm Tex Mars. I'm inviting you to order my new book entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. The book is around 260 pages, and it's got, a lot of color pictures in it. That's nice. If you can't read, you can at least look at the color pictures, can't you? Well, I think you're going to want to read this because you're going to want to get these stories. Here on page 98 is a picture of clowns. They're actually in clowns' uniforms. The pastor's in a clown outfit, too. Seems like they had a big clown worship service in a church in New York City. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And then there's a Reverend Moon. He was crowned as Messiah of Earth on Capitol Hill. Senators, congressmen, many clergy attended to honor the Korean head of the Moonies cult. There they are. They're there and they're wearing their crowns, him and his wife, and they've got on these gowns. And boy, there's a Reverend Moon hugging his old pal, Pastor Jerry Falwell, who he gave $1 million to. You know, Jerry Falwell's a big pal of the Moonies. And of course, Neil Bush is too. In fact, he worked for Reverend Moon. Yeah, that's in this book. There's a picture of them together. Hey, here on page 88 is a picture of Reverend Carol Stone. She used to be Reverend Peter Stone, but now she's known as Carol Stone. She's a transgender, you see, in the Church of England. Talks all about her, and there you see her picture. She's a very, very pretty lady, or is she a man? I don't know. Well, that's for you to judge. Hey, now here's something very interesting. Big news report. Archbishop becomes Druid. Seems that the head of the Church of England, they call him the Archbishop of Canterbury, was inducted as a Druid in a Celtic ceremony. Dr. Rowan Williams said that he was saddened, though, that some people did not understand the good things that the witches and the Druids did. Yes, I guess I'm one of those people he was talking about. But Dr. Williams, as a Druid and a Archbishop, actually was the one who married, you know, the new princess and, you know, the one they're always raving about in the tabloids. I forget her name now, but you know her. Hey, here on page 72 is Father Michael Seed. You may not know about Father. Of course, the Bible tells us to call no man Father, so let's just call him Reverend. Reverend Michael Seed, or Father, carousing with a few of his parishioners at the Pig Alley Club. Yes, that's right, the Pig Alley Club is a very popular Catholic church in London, the Pig Alley Club. It's a very special club. You see, when you go to the front door, you're met at the door by four transvestite nuns. Big burly guys with beards and all. But they're very nice. They escort you into the church, and some strange things are going on there. All these, well, it seems that Father Seed is the actual priest. He's the second best known Catholic priest in all of Great Britain, and it seems that he's very popular. In fact, Tony Blair, the former prime minister, says it's Father Seed who converted him to the Catholic faith. You see, Tony Blair, now he's the one that made up the fake intelligence report that we found yellow cake uranium in Nigeria or something, that the Saddam Hussein was trying to obtain it because he wanted to build a nuclear bomb and all that. And they made up all that intelligence, and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell told everybody, that's it. They've got their uranium for their bomb. There's going to be mushrooms all over America if we don't attack right away. Tony Blair made that up, you know. In that way, you see, George W. Bush could say, what else could I do? I was following England's intelligence report. Yes, it was wrong. It was incorrect. But now, belatedly, still we got rid of Saddam Hussein. That's good, isn't it? Well, 500,000 people died because they faked the intelligence report. But Father Seed, he's a well-known guy, and he has this Pig Alley Club. By the way, all the walls and everything are painted pink. And it seems that there's been some scandals there. You see, many people are paying $25,000 to $50,000 to become knights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S. You know, if you want to become a knight of this order or that order, people pay for those knighthoods and to become lords and such in Great Britain. Recently, I got in the mail, you know, this thing, would you like to become a English lord? Yeah. They told me that they were selling this lordship because the man needed the money, and he had this great castle in England. I wouldn't get the castle. I'd only get the title. And it was only $150,000. But after that, I could be called Lord Tex or Lord Mars. Now, wouldn't that just be juicy? I mean, that's... I'm not kidding you. Now, this Father Michael Seed, it turns out, was faking it. He didn't have any order at all. He was selling these certificates and initiating people into these orders and getting $25,000 to $50,000 a kick for them. Well, that's being investigated now by the Scotland Yard, their police over there. Now, Tony Blair said he really enjoys going to the Pig Alley Club. And it turns out, by the way, that Father Michael Seed is a, I don't know why, this picture shows all these women around him, but he's a homosexual. He admits it. He said he's very proud of it. And now Tony Blair, he's very popular here in America because he kills so many Iraqis. About 500,000 he helped us kill, you know. And that's good. Those are all Muslims. They need to die. They need to go straight to hell, don't they? I mean, isn't that what Christians do? Isn't that what evangelicals want? Absolutely. Go bomb them. Well, maybe overstating it, but I think a few of them want that. It seems that Tony Blair was actually invited to a Baptist university in Jackson, Tennessee. Doesn't bother them if he's a member of the Pig Alley Club. Now, he explains, I'm quoting from the Daily Mail newspaper in England, Tony Blair said when he was a prime minister, he never told anybody he was a Christian. He said, you see, that's very unpopular to be a Christian in England. And if you tell somebody, they think you're uncouth and stupid. So I waited till I was out of politics, and then I joined the Catholic Church. I had to wait to join the Catholic Church because I didn't want people to think I was stupid. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? Boy. In any case, they're investigating Father Seed and Tony Blair. He's still around. Then we get to Ted Haggard. Remember him? That was the guy that was in charge of the Evangelical Association, about 3,000 churches. He was their advisor. Ted Haggard, he was famous, had a church of his own down in Colorado. But then it came out that he was a homosexual. In fact, he and his lover would meet regularly at motels where Ted Haggard would sniff cocaine up his nose, and then they would do their dirty things. Well, he's back. I talk about it in my book. He gave an interview for Advocate, the top gay magazine in America. He said that he's changed his mind. He used to preach against gay marriage, but now he's for it. He said, well, whoever you love, that's good enough with me. He says now that he thinks about homosexual sex all the time, but he never does it now. I'm being faithful to my wife. Oh, yeah. I think about it all the time, he said. It's a temptation, but I'm staying straight. But he doesn't think that being homosexual is bad. He doesn't think that somebody needs to atone for it. No, no, no. He said at my church, he's got his church back now, you know, I've been forgiven. I've got gays, lesbians, bisexuals, even transgenders and transvestites. All are welcome as full members. I'll bet they are. Now, here's page 67 of my book. It seems that pole dancing is very... That's right. Christian women are getting into pole dancing. There's a story about it. In fact, there's a picture here of two Christian women pole dancing. Seems they do it, I don't know why, on Sundays. They go to church and they go over to the gym and they learn how to pole dance. And the woman says, you know, she was asked, she says, I do it as a Christian, the teacher. Well, do y'all have prayer or sing songs or what? She says, no, we don't really have time for prayer. We don't have time to read the Bible, but we still do this for Jesus. I'll bet they do. Isn't that interesting? Pole dancing for Jesus. Then, here's one about Hillary Clinton and John McCain. Now, John McCain says he's a Southern Baptist. Hillary, she said she's a Methodist. Well, they were on an airplane together going to Estonia, the country of Estonia in Europe. And Hillary said, hey, John, let's have a, you know how they do over in the countries like Estonia and Russia? They love to have a vodka drinking contest. Why don't we have one right here on the aircraft? Well, you know, you can't just do that when you're traveling coach class on Southwest Airlines. But this was a chartered jet where they take all the big wigs. Got plenty of room there. And so they brought out their bottles of vodka, and she and Senator McCain and Hillary, they had a big chug-a-lug. And they chugged a lug and chugged a lug. And finally, you know, they had a winner picked. And you know, the thing about, I don't tell you who won. I leave that to your imagination. But think about it. A Southern Baptist, John McCain, and a Methodist girl, Hillary Clinton, chug-a-lugging vodka on an aircraft. Well, That's just a normal Christian activity, isn't it? Well, then there's another group here, Crackheads for Jesus. You never heard of Crackheads for Jesus? Oh, yes, they exist. Here's another group on page 63, Hookers for Jesus. Hookers for Jesus. Now, I know you ladies for into sewing. My wife, when I told her about Hookers for Jesus, she asked me, was that something to do with a knitting club? Well, it's not a knitting club, so I'll just leave it there. Hey, Joel Osteen, I talk about him on page 62. He was on the Larry King TV show, and he was asked about the Mormons. Are the Mormons a true Christian church? He said, yes, they certainly are. Oh, boy. I want to ask, I'm going to wait and let you get the book and read what I say about Joel Osteen and the Mormons. But I do talk about the Mormons. You know, it seems that the Muslims have a doctrine that says if you stay faithful to Allah and Muhammad, you'll go to heaven, and Allah will give you 70 virgin wives. Now, I don't know when they're not virgins anymore. If you use them all up, all 70 of them, what happens then? Does he give you 70 new ones? I don't know. But anyway, you get 70. You start off with 70 virgin wives. But listen, if you're a Muslim and you're hearing Tex Mar's voice today, you're being a chump. You're selling out. You're selling out to Muhammad and Allah for 70 virgin wives. If you were a Mormon, you could have millions. You could even be God of your own planet. That's what they teach you. You'll have your own planet. You'll be a God. You'll have innumerable wives. Did you know that God has a wife? That's what the Mormons teach. Did you know that Jesus, when he was on this earth, he had wives? He was married. He was married. That's what the Mormons teach. And of course, that's in heaven. You don't have to worry about hell, because in this book I talk about Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, the Latter-day Saints. And in the Mormon, and I actually quote the book, the Mormon book itself, in which Joseph Smith said he's been to hell. And it's not like everybody says. He said hell is not a place of fire and brimstone. It's not a bad place at all. In fact, he said it was quite an agreeable place. It's quite an agreeable place. Now, that has to be true, because Joseph Smith, he gave us, you know, the Mormon Bible, and they say that's more true. There's errors in the Christian Bible. But in the Mormon Bible, there's no errors at all. It's another book by Jesus, they say, and there's no errors in it. Now, Joseph Smith has to be right. Hell is an agreeable place. And so Joel Osteen must be correct. Yes, Mormons are true Christians. Oh, boy. Now, on page 60, see, I'm just turning a page or two at a time. Here is a big picture of a big service they had at the Episcopal Church in Los Angeles. And there's the bishop. I thought he was wearing a dress, but he's wearing his robe. All of them are wearing robes, looks like. There's a Druid priest. There's, there are all these various religions. I don't know, probably Church of Satan there too. There's a Muslim, and there's a rabbi, and there's a woman, a reverend, and there's some guy with a black suit on. Black boy, he looks creepy. But in any case, the Right Reverend, don't you just love these titles? I love when they give these people a title. You know, Right Reverend this, or Holy Father this. I love these titles. Jerry, why don't I have any titles? I don't have any titles, just Tex. People just call me Tex. Why can't I be called Right Reverend Tex? It's the thing to do. They all do it. Now, folks, when you start addressing me, if you write me a letter about this, please address it to Right Reverend Tex Mars. In fact, don't call me Tex at all. It should be Right Reverend. No, don't do that, folks. I'm only kidding. I'm really only kidding. But listen, the Right Reverend J. John Bruno is he's the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. Now, he's a real big poobah, and he's a big shot and all, and he had a Indian rite, R-I-T-E, that's the Hindu Indians he's talking about, an Indian rite religious ceremony at the big Episcopal Church in Los Angeles. Now, let me tell you what he said. He apologized to the Hindu religious community. The Right Reverend Bruno said, "We Christians, for centuries, have discriminated against the Hindus. How? By our wrong attempts to convert them. The world cannot afford for us to repeat the errors of our past, in which we sought to dominate rather than to serve. In this spirit," says the Right Reverend Bruno, In this spirit, and in order to take another step in building trust between our two great religious traditions, I offer a sincere apology to the Hindu religious community. Oh, yes. And then he went on to say that he would never again attempt to proselytize Hindus. I suppose that even those Hindus who worship the rat goddess, or Kali, the goddess of the cobra, I guess they too are, you know, I mean, we need to renounce that. Now, the Hindu guru was there. His name was Sarve Devananda. Now, Hindu guru Sarve Devananda responded to Right Reverend Mr. Bruno. He said this, quote, "By declaring there will be no more proselytizing, the bishop has opened a new door of understanding. The modern man," said the Hindu guru, "must expand his understanding and love of all religions and their practices." After the service, Christians and Hindus lined up side by side for communion. Now, doesn't that just toast your twinkles? I mean, it just makes me feel fuzzy. This is the kind of book. This is what this book tells about these things happening all over America. Pastors and churches going wild. For example, it's a small thing, but think about it. There's a church called Action Church. I like that. Action Church in York County, Pennsylvania. Now, actually, they changed their name there recently. It was Action Church, but now it's Fat Daddy's Nightclub. I'm not kidding you, folks. If you're ever in York County, Pennsylvania, stop by Fat Daddy's Nightclub. It's a church. Now, Fat Daddy's, the pastor says people here don't feel like they're going to church anymore. They don't even like the name of church. This is the new church, he says, the modern church. I understand that. Okay. It's an alternate name. They first call our church Action Church, but really he says they like Fat Daddy's a lot more. Fat Daddy's. Now, if you're an old fuddy-duddy, you won't go to Fat Daddy's. Let me tell you right now. You're not going to like it because, but the church is catching on. They have loud rock and roll music, free donuts and coffee. Every policeman ought to go there. You don't have to go to, you know, Dunkin' Donuts anymore. You just go to Fat Daddy's if you're a cop. Well, now, some visitors have to stuff their ears and they give you foam plugs at the door. If you're an old fuddy-duddy, they'll give you foam plugs to stick in your ears. I know I'm going to have to get those foam plugs and be an old fuddy-duddy. I'm just like that. I'm really old-fashioned. Now, upstairs, they still have Sunday school for the kids. The lesson for this particular Sunday, according to the reporter, was God is love. That's good. That's in the Bible. God is love. Of course, they don't tell you that he sends some people to hell. That's, you know, they don't want to talk about it. That's not nice. Fat Daddy wouldn't like that. Oh, boy. Well, the preacher, the pastor says, our church, Fat Daddy's, puts the teachings of Jesus in action. I don't think so. Do you, folks? Now, meanwhile, the Southern Baptist Convention invited Albert Gore, to come to their big convention. And he was invited up, and they gave him a new Bible. Now, you know, he's the writer of Earth in the Balance, I think the title. If it is, I've got that book by Al Gore. It says that a new religion needs to be formed, the religion of the great goddess. But here he was. He's a Southern Baptist, but he says we ought to have a new religion, the great goddess religion. But the Southern Baptists seem to love him. Here, all these things, 13,000 Southern Baptist pastors from all over the world. It's the biggest denomination in America. And what do they do? Invite Al Gore. You know, he's the guy that lied to us about climate change, all that. But they wanted to honor him. And they have a new Bible. It's called the Green Bible. The Green Bible. Now, the Green Bible, and I've got a picture of Al Gore right here, a color picture, beautiful color picture. He's holding up his Green Bible. And they gave him a great big one of these plaques you put on the wall in bronze, you know, with his name on it and all that. Al Gore holding his Green Bible. Inside it, all the verses that have to do with the environment are printed in green. And see, if you're an environmentalist, you don't want all those other old verses. Just go to the green verses. It has a green cover. I'm serious. Here he is holding up his Green Bible. They said to him, the pastor that gave him this, said that Al Gore is being recognized by us Baptists for his work as, quote, an old-style biblical prophet. an old-style biblical prophet. Now, folks, Al Gore advocates returning to the ancient pagan religions of Mother Earth. I suppose that is an old-style biblical prophet. Seems to me like one of those hundreds of priests that Elijah slew. You know, but it seemed like it's one that Ahab and Jezebel used to worship, but an old-style biblical prophet. Wow. Here's one. Mars Hill Church. I don't even like that. They took my name. Oh, wait. No, this is okay. This is M-A-R-S. I'm M-A-R-R-S. All right. Okay. This is from page 58 of the new book, my new book. It seems they had a big champagne dance party at Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Washington. That's in the Bible, you know, Mars Hill. And they recently had their big champagne dance party, and they called it Red Hot Bash Number 2. Now, I never got the notice for Red Hot Bash Number 1. But anyway, this is Red Hot Bash Number 2. It featured Bobby Medina and the Red Hot Band, one of the top dance bands in the Northwest. They played everything from swing to Latin to Motown. Man, participants were invited. The literature said, come and bust a move on our enormous dance floor. There you go, folks. Go and bust a move. I suspect at my age, if I... I'd bust more than a move, I tell you. My whole body would be. Well, anyway, be sure to bring your ID so you can use their champagne bar, it says. And there's a dance contest. And then afterwards, they had a theology of the Bible meeting. Participants grabbed a beer and discussed politics and spiritual topics. Here's some of the topics discussed just recently. The role of women in society. The legal system. Is it fair to the poor? And animal rights. Should we save the whale? That's right. Well, actually, I made it up, but it is animal rights. And there were also R-rated movies. Oh, yeah, you got to have the R-rated movies there at Mars Hill Church. Now, I talk about, believe it or not, Duck Dynasty. Have pictures of the Duck Dynasty people. Now, you may say, what does Duck Dynasty have to do with pastors and churches going wild? Well, you know, they preach in churches. Don't they have a guy there? What's his name? Uncle so-and-so or whatever? Uncle Cy, he preaches. But it appears that Uncle Cy is a Freemason. And yeah, here he is raising his pants leg up and doing the sign of the Masons, you know. And every one of them are shown in this picture, and every one of them are doing a Freemasonic hand sign or body sign. What does that tell you? Well, they're Freemasons, of course. But listen to them. I mean, that man, he knows. He may not like to get a shave, but he knows about Jesus. But why are they Freemasons? Now, in this book, I also tell you what Freemasons really are. What they are is not very good. But anyway, you'll learn all about Duck Dynasty in this book, too. Now, this book has everything in it. Oral Roberts, you know, he's died and gone on to wherever he's going. Oral Roberts. Remember Oral Roberts? But his son, Richard Roberts, took over for him. Well, now his son got kicked out of the church. Seems like, well, there's just things that he did they didn't like. He bought himself a big red-hot Mercedes and his wife. Well, she did some things she shouldn't have done. Now, Oral Roberts himself, you know, he told us that if people would send him money, he would build a great hospital there. And God told him, we will find a cure for cancer. Well, people send him money, send him millions. He built the hospital. It's still there in Tulsa. But, you know, God was mistaken because he never gave a cure for cancer. You know, God does that sometimes, according to Oral Roberts. He just doesn't tell the truth, I guess. Hey, then there's the Pope. The Pope, now this one, I talk about all three popes in this book, the last three, and here's Pope Benedict. And it seems that he's been really pals with a father. I know I said I wasn't going to say father, but just to explain it here, Father Paul Machiel. Now, Father Paul Machiel is founder of the influential Legion of Christ. But it turns out that he's been molesting hundreds of little boys. Well, Father Machiel died. Nobody did anything about this. But ABC News, Brian Ross, actually was right in front of the great St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. And the Pope comes out. And ABC's Brian Ross asked him about what he's going to do about Father Machiel and these hundreds of boys that were molested by him. And the Pope got mad, and he spanked the news reporter's hands. What do you think about that? And he said, you know, don't ask me questions like that. Well, what would you have done? I think I'd have turned around and slapped the Pope in the face. But no, I wouldn't have done that. But he probably should have. Then there's a story about a Catholic seminary in Vienna, Austria, where they found a vast store of child pornography and photos of young priests having sex together. Now, they asked Bishop Kurt Wren, who oversees the diocese, and by the way, he refuses to step down. He says, this activity is simply childish pranks. Come again? Simply childish pranks. In child pornography, photos of young Catholic priests having sex together. But he says they're just having fun. It's just pranks. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, here's something very, very interesting. It seems that there's an all-nude church. I've got a picture of it. Now, I don't show you everything about this guy. But I do show you from the waist up. He's totally naked. You'll have to just trust me. He's naked. Yeah, it's in Virginia, and there he's naked. It's the all naked church, and he says that God wants his people to be equal, and they can only be equal if they don't wear their fine clothes to church. So they got a naked church. If you ever stop by Whitetail, Virginia, stop at the church and visit the all naked church. I personally wouldn't do something like that, but maybe you're inclined. I don't know. Here's an Assembly of God church in Birmingham, Alabama. They're going to teach children not to fear. And so they have them sit in a coffin or lay down in a coffin, and they feed them one at a time goldfish. They eat goldfish while they're laying in a coffin. Don't fear anything. You know, they could have come up with some better props than goldfish and coffins. Oh, boy. Now, that's really a ministry. Well, we're using this to draw kids to Jesus, said the youth pastor. Wow. And then, of course, over in England, I told you about this in my newsletter. It seems that there's a Anglican priest father, Dorian Baxter, who dresses up like Elvis Presley, and he goes around to churches, and he sings. Oh, you know, he does. He's 47 years old. He's the only ordained priest in the world who is also an Elvis impersonator. He's very popular. One woman said he's sexy. He drives me wild. I've even got a picture of him here in his Elvis costume. He drives him wild. He said I do this for the cause of the glory of the gospel of Christ. Well, okay. Folks, these things are going on in your hometown. They're going, they're all over America. I have hundreds of incredible stories. I give names in churches, and it's incredible. I think this is the reason why Psalm 7, verse 11, tells us something. It says, God is angry with the wicked every day. That not a day goes by that God is not angry with the wicked. I'm a little angry, too. You will be, too, when you see this book. I mean, I've been sort of making snide remarks and joking, but many, many people will never know Jesus Christ, will never know the truth, will never get to know the joy of the blessed gospel because of these horrible things going on in our churches. To order Pastors and Churches Gone Wild, simply go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or call 1-800-234-9673. You can also write to us, of course, and that would be Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Until next week, my friends, this is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in and discover the power of prophecy.